Direct from Fort Meade, Maryland, this is DinFos Live.
Hello and welcome to DinFos Live. I'm Major David J. Murphy, a DinFos instructor and your host for today's program. On this month's episode, we're talking about the tool Adobe After Effects and how units can leverage it to enhance their command's content. Joining us to discuss this topic is Director, Strategic Development, Professional Video for Adobe, Mr. David Helmley. Sir, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Please have a seat.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into our conversation today and talk about this program and how it can be used by units to enhance their video products, I want to, of course, let everyone watching know that if they have any questions for Mr. Helmley, that they can ask those questions in the chat, and we might just read them on the air. Okay, well, sir, let's go ahead and get on with the program,
yeah.
Shall we? Can you tell us a little about yourself, your experience with motion graphics, and your experience with Adobe and After Effects?
Yeah, so I've been with Adobe almost 30 years
wow.
now. And had a lot of opportunity to work with DinFos over the years, which is great. And also working on lots of major motion pictures, TV shows, brand companies as well. And After Effects has always been a big part of that. It's been an amazing journey so far.
Absolutely. Now, for those who are uninitiated, who may not have worked with the program before, can you tell us what After Effects actually is?
Yeah, After Effects is a compositing tool, first of all. You'll hear that term a lot. And I think the easiest way to look at After Effects is that it's animated Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand layers and how they interact with each other in Photoshop, we're just going to put those to motion.
Absolutely. Okay, great. So tell me, for folks who are watching maybe movies or television shows, you know, can you tell us like which ones may have used After Effects in their production?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to show you some examples today. I've got a little demo reel that I'll just scroll through kind of quickly. But I'd almost say most major pictures that you watch and even TV shows use After Effects. It's known as the Swiss Army knife, just to fix problems. We need to remove things from scenes. Starbucks cup, for example, in Game of Thrones.
Oh, right.
You might have seen that. There's other things where there's things called occlusion. I'll give you an example of that, where we've got things blocking things and we need to go in and redraw them and remap them. It's been also used in a lot of productions for green screening and also using Photoshop files as video plates, which I'm going to show you some examples and sort of setting those up in 3D to create scenes, because we no longer have, say, movie sets and movie backdrops made out of wood and plywood. We have mm-hmm. those created virtually. So it's
Absolutely.
Very popular there.
Okay, great. So what's probably the most powerful tool or capability that After Effects has within it that people should know about?
I think the biggest thing to really look at After Effects, like what makes it different, is the people that made After Effects made it with math in mind. I mean, one of the original co-founders is still at Adobe, and it's very math intensive, where you can write expressions, some algebraic equations to make random things happen or very specific things happen based on physics. They also took a step back and did a lot of this stuff for you, building out some of these formulas where you don't even have to open up that window. You can just make things happen. But if you want to go in and tweak it, with that math being available to you, you can really just see the power of After Effects to have the ultimate control to make it look as real as possible.
Okay, great. So we're getting a question from social media. Mike S. asks, what kind of effects can be created with After Effects?
There's all sorts of effects that, you know, smoke and fire, lightning, rain, snow. I mean, there's just a ton of effects that are in there. But what also you can do with it is you can use some of those effects on layers to create other effects like lava, right, mm-hmm. for example, and things like that when you sort of understand things like displacement maps and other things as you start getting into After Effects. After Effects goes pretty deep, but kind of travels along with you
yeah.
through your journey of learning the product.
Absolutely. And I just want to let our audience know that while After Effects is widely used throughout the military and actually taught at the schoolhouse, you know, there are many different programs that exist for motion graphics. And I'm curious, you know, someone who's obviously been involved in the industry for so long, how does it compare to something like, you know, DaVinci Resolve's Fusion or Blender or Nuke or even Filmora or these other programs?
Yeah, I mean, all of those are great apps. And I work with a lot of companies that work with all of these. You know, After Effects is always that sort of base layer product like you would see with Photoshop. And it works the way that it works. It's almost 30 years old. And people, you know, count on it working the way that it works. We're always improving the program and rewriting it without taking away the way that it works. Because you mentioned Resolve, which is a great product. It uses nodes, right? Which is a very different way of thinking. And when you have that mindset for that particular task, that may be best for you at that point in time. But people love to come back to After Effects, because as you'll see when we demo it, it works very much like Photoshop. And when you get in the Photoshop mindset, I always tell people, it really doesn't make a difference what you're doing in After Effects. You're just putting Photoshop in motion.
Okay, sounds good. So talk to me, if I'm a person who is new to After Effects or new to any sort of motion graphics program, talk to me about how I can kind of get over that initial intimidation that comes from, you know, opening the program and seeing all these available windows and widgets and icons that you can adjust.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And again, as you and I were talking earlier, we got started with these programs a while ago. So we got the advantage of watching these different things that get added to the program and learning a few more things each year, where today you jump into the program and it's like, wow, there's a lot here. I would say start in any of the workspaces, this really includes on any Adobe Creative product, in the beginning or essentials workspace, which pretty much, you know, blanks everything out and allows you just to bring in certain starter elements. And I'm even going to give a link for you guys at the end of the show to use the tutorial files that I have here on a brand new site that we've just created. And it really does start you from ground zero.
That sounds great, because, you know, I know our audience loves continuing education opportunities and resources. So we'll definitely let you know about that source later on. How does After Effects fit within the overall pantheon of Adobe suite products?
Yeah, I mean, After Effects, you know, has a lot of the code for parsing out and reading Photoshop files, blending modes. I think we talked a little bit about that. And we've got different ways of having it interact with Premiere. Premiere's codec engine is inside of After Effects, so you can play RED files, RED camera files, P2 files, things like that directly inside of After Effects. So they share a lot of the same code, which allows you to jump in and out of the different applications together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously military uses After Effects for some of its more creative products and different shows and whatnot. How do you think the military can best utilize After Effects?
Well, I think from the work I've seen you guys do, you have to do explainer videos a lot to try to tell people processes and giving you faster and easier ways to do that. We're going to, again, start you with some ways to sort of, again, animate Photoshop layers and files to really help move this along, but also take that over into video and start teaching you how to separate items from the video so you can call things out. So yeah, super easy ways to do that.
So educational and informational products
could be leveraged for. In any sort of explainer videos that you might need to do. Or by the way, we should also say what it's really well known for, which I'll show you today as well, is just openers. Could just have some fun with it, where you've got the opportunity to have some creative freedom at the beginning of a show or maybe during a title sequence at the end, rolling credit.
Okay, great. Well, we promised you all, if you saw our promo, that we would do some tutorials, and now we're going to go ahead and without further ado,
let's go take a look.
Let's do some tutorials. So you've got about, what, five or six of them to show us today?
Yeah, I got five or six, and as I said, let's just bring up, you had asked about what shows, and there's a ton of them out there. And I'm just going to sort of start with this one, because this is John Landau on stage at Adobe Max. And here he is talking about how After Effects was used in Avatar 1. And as I started talking about occlusion, being able to separate things out, it's kind of cool to watch that in action. And here's another show called Hugo, where they're doing a lot of green screening and treatments within After Effects as well. And then another show that I really like to show a lot, this one is Boardwalk Empires, where they're building out an entire set and laying that all. And that those are all different Photoshop layers and Photoshop files, and in that case, some Illustrator files coming in. And this is probably one of my favorite, that if I just wind this back just a step there and you sort of watch how this scene is put together, and when you get an opportunity to see that they're really in a back lot with staring at a couple of green screens, each one of these Photoshop layers get added in there and then composited to make the entire scene is just absolutely fascinating to me. And then another one here, where this is a great way to show, as things get layered out in Photoshop, we turn on some 3D, and then you can kind of see how we set up that depth map in the scene, which is just really neat to kind of see how some of this is put together. It is just a super powerful program just to have some fun with. And you were asking, things that are generated like fire and things like that can all be sort of put in layers. I love to show this one. Had a friend of mine was the editor on Sharknado, heavy After Effects on sort of a B movie, but I like to say Sharknado is a movie that knows what it is, kind of fun, but you see a lot of use cases for that, for even just the most simplest After Effects stuff. And then another one, I do a lot of work with Saturday Night Live. Our team's worked with them for years, and here's an example of them one of their Mario Kart videos they did this year. Super high quality production value, and I thought it would be interesting for some of the units to see how this thing is put together. So here you are on a Friday afternoon, and we had talked about how the Adobe programs all work together. So they go in and out of After Effects, Audition, Media Encoder, and Premiere, and sort of lay all this thing out. And you can kind of see the time crunch and what the editor is having to do. Yeah. And by Saturday night, getting close to 11 o'clock, that thing's got to be ready to roll and get on air. So no pressure there, exactly. And then on the sort of fun side, we talked about openers and maybe some of the commercial side that's out there. Here's an example of a lot of what you see on TV that's used in After Effects. And I'm gonna actually open up some of the elements that are in this project later on in the demo to kind of show you how some of this is put together inside of After Effects. But it is just an amazing playground of effects and things to play with. But to get people started, I think we should just start with a standard Photoshop file. And I've got Photoshop opened here, and I've got this PSD, and I'm just gonna open up the PSD, which has got a Photoshop document, which has got a couple of different layers in here. And I'm just gonna zoom in to show you that we've got some text and we've got some background treatments. We've got our little cow icon there. And if we just look at it, as I bring this into After Effects, I'm gonna just go to each of these layers and I'm just gonna kind of move them around, just like might do some of this in After Effects. But you already know how to do all of this inside of Photoshop, and why not just be able to add some keyframes to that and do that inside of After Effects? And so After Effects has Photoshop's parsing engine built in to separate those layers out.
Okay.
And I'm going to just right mouse click, and I'm going to open this in After Effects.
Great.
And you'll see it comes up, and it gives me some options here where I can import this as a complete composition with all the layers, and I can retain layer sizes if I'm worried about the size of the document, or bring it in as sort of flat footage. And let me just pop over to After Effects here, and you'll see right away it made a composition. Now, for those of you that are new to the term composition, and maybe you know Premiere or another editor, it's the same thing as your timeline or your sequence. So think of it that way. In Premiere terms, it's the same thing as a sequence. We have put some new color options inside of After Effects to allow you to sort of work in different color spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna set this to none so it looks a little bit more like what we had inside of Photoshop. Mm. But you can already see that I'm looking at this file the same way that I looked at it inside of Photoshop. And tighter integration shows the Photoshop icon to tell me that it knows it's in Photoshop. This gets to be super important if I wanna go back and re-edit it. I can edit original inside of Photoshop as well and change some of those layers around. So as I start to look at the different layers that are in here, and I'll give you a keyboard shortcut. The keyboard shortcut for move is V. Just remember move.
Indeed.
So there's tons and tons of keyboard shortcuts inside of Premiere, inside of After Effects, and you can start to actually play this thing like a piano, as I say. So I'm going to jump over here to the transform controls, and the reason I mentioned some of the keyboard shortcuts is I could just hit P, S, or R to go ahead and bring up these individual ones, but I like to start out with the transform because it kind of looks like exactly what you see in Premiere, and you can see I've selected the word make, so I kind of know what's going to go on there, and I can select that, and I'm going to just add keyframes. So I've clicked on position, scale, and rotation. It's what I always tell everyone to start out. If in doubt, just click the starter keyframes, whether you plan to use it or not, and then go ahead and you can move this out over time, but figure out where you want this to start. I'm going to say, let's take the scale here. And let's put the scale at zero. So I'm at the zero point in time. I want this thing to kind of fly in, and I'm just going to come back over here and I'm going to set that to 100. And you see it's drawn the keyframe for me. So as I come out here and I do this, that looks great. And I come over here and I want that to come out a little quicker. Now, one of the things you might be looking at is why is it zooming from that corner? And that's because if I zoom in here, my anchor point when I brought this in always confuses new users. It's because look at as a whole Photoshop document, it puts you right in the center. And that's a pretty easy thing to fix, because if I come over here and I just go to the anchor point up here, I can center that, make it right, that word make right on it. And you can see I've got it kind of right on that K. And now I can just go back on the position and allow me to move that up and be able to play around with that and center that up. And if you see a keyframe and the keyframe's not in the right place, you have the ability just to go in and move these things around. Now, let's take a look at the icon on the cow to make this a little bit more relevant on the and clearer on the anchor point. Notice how the cow is going around the anchor point there. Let's go down and just move the anchor point on the cow. Sort of move him over there. That actually looks pretty good. And now you'll notice when I bring the position back over here and I do the rotation, the cow's doing exactly what you would expect. So it gets pretty easy to move things around. This looks a little intimidating at first, but when you just sort of look at it, you're like, that's exactly what I see in Premiere. It gets pretty obvious. Now,
I'm sure you just saved somebody hours of frustration, by the way, and that just one short demo right there.
Yeah, I like I say, and you had brought this up, how can we just keep it simple and start at a point to where I can just sort of get how it's put together. Now, let's bring up another demo, and I've used this car in many tutorials in the past, and I just think it's the clearest way to kind of show you the power of what you can do with a Photoshop file. Now, I want you to look here and see that I actually have two Photoshop documents that I start. I have some landscape layers, and I have the car layer or the truck layer. And just like Premiere, you have nested sequences. So as I put together a sequence, I might chop things up, and then I'm going to grab that sequence and drag it into another sequence. It treats that whole sequence as one clip. It's the same thing with compositions. If I drag the car, which is what I did, inside of this composition, I can double click on the car and I can just see what I've done to it. So as I hit play, it looks like I've done some rotation on the tires. So if I come over here and I go down to transform, you can kind of see down here that all I've done is just put a couple of rotations on those tires. And then I put a little bit of a bounce using rotation on the truck, and you can kind of see some of the keyframe. Yeah, no. But when you put it together on the landscape, you get a pretty realistic view. Now, a lot of people might ask, okay, you've got this position changing. I placed, and this is also in the tutorial, I placed what's known as an offset which means that when this bush over here gets to the end of the screen, it's already started to redraw this.
Yeah.
And I always tell the audience, if you think back to TV shows like Scooby-Doo and things like that, where you're walking down a hallway in a big mansion and you see the same table or lamp go by, it's pretty much the same thing with an offset. That's exactly how they perform that. Very, very common when you need things to repeat and come off of the screen and redraw the pixels. Now, the other thing that gets interesting on this clip and why I think this is such a great thing to look at is if I come down here, you see I've got, you know, middle ground, background, sky, and foreground.
Yeah.
Each of these are animated with at a slower rate. So that offset value goes slower the further I go back. So here's the foreground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the middle ground. So all I have to do is just reduce them by 20% and sort of figure that out on each layer. And you can pretty much create a realistic background. And this is a great example where if this truck was driving, I could fade out the blue sky and fade in the evening sky.
Sure.
So that's how a lot of these animations are done using After Effects. Just
and
really,
I just
want
to
really
say we have a question from Josh W.
Yeah.
Who asks, is there a way to integrate AE projects into Adobe Premiere? And I know you're going to show us that. So
yes, yeah,
stand
we're,
by,
we're,
Josh.
We're absolutely going to show you that, Josh. They are sister apps. Great, great question. So actually, that kind of takes us up to where we are right now. One of the most popular things inside of After Effects and like what can I do with it on a daily basis, and I think you and I were sort of just discussing over a break earlier today, what are some areas where people might want to go do some sort of extracurricular work, and that is motion graphics templates, what we call MoGerts. So a MoGert is the extension on the end of this file type, which is .mogrt, and inside of a MoGert is just an AEP, which is an After Effects project file. So anytime you see a MoGert, you can open that up in After Effects and have it display the entire project. So I'm going to do a real simple example of how to create a MoGert just to keep it quick. Again, we have lots of tutorials on this. And I'm going to start with just creating a solid. And I can kind of come in here and let's bring this down to fit. And I'm just going to scale this red bar down. And I know a lot of what people might do with a motion graphics template is create a lower third, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm going to go down to the transform controls. And I'm at the 0 point in time. And I'm just going to move this off the screen, click that. And by the time I get maybe here, because I can easily adjust that, I'm going to bring that back up again. And I see my two keyframes there. And I look at that and go, well, that's a little slow. I'm going to move that one closer and kind of watch that. There we go. And now I'm just going to add some text on the screen. And I'm just going to call this one name. And I'm going to come over here. And let me just get a little more.
There you go.
Thicker font there.
Perfect.
And then I'm going to grab another one and I'll just call it date. And now I'm going to go back here and I'm just going to drag this one over here and this one over here. Now I've made this super simple just to keep it clear in your head. Now what can I do with this? I want the editor to be able to only change the name and the date. They can't touch the animation on the red bar. And by the way, in this particular one, I won't do it now, but I would animate name and date and have them slide in,
mm-hmm.
whatever they need to do. But what I really want to show you here is how do we create a motion graphics template? And you just simply go to Window, bring up the Essential Graphics panel, which is here, and you're going to drag any of the elements that you want the Premiere Editor to be able to modify. The After Effects compositor has complete control over what can be changed.
Okay.
You know, so I'm going to go up and say, okay, I'm going to drag the date in, and I'm just grabbing the source text. I'm going to drag this over here, and I can change layer orders. I can even change the name of the field. You know, I could call it field one, field two, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now all I have to do is just go in and hit export template, and then that would allow me, when I jump over to a program like Premiere, to have it pop up over here. I can just hit the plus button, import that in, and you can just see all sorts of MoGurts, motion graphics templates that we have. And let's just start with one that we want people to do today, which is like and subscribe. So I'm gonna just drag this MoGurt right onto the timeline and be able to see exactly what was created inside of Premiere. Some of these will allow me to modify text, and some of them might not. So I can just, you know, come down here. You can see some rolling text. Some of these things will allow me to go in. If I go under edit, click on it, and I can start to go in there and modify whatever it is that I need to do that person's allowed me to get control over. Now, I have a really good example inside of here of an actual credit that we use in some of our training materials. And I'm going to go out and just call this one just grab it over here. And bring up master credit here. Okay.
As the kids say, smash that like button.
That like button. And here we go. So here's a great example to where if you come over here in the essential graphics, you can see all the different things that we've added, right? So I've got position, scale, and I'm calling it master position, master scale, because the more you get into this, there could be different ways of scaling different elements, because there's a lot of pieces in here that we've added and layered up. So I'm going to click on this master here, and I'm going to hit R for rotation, and I'm going to drag this right up here, and you'll notice here that I can now name this rotation. And you might ask, you know, why would I want someone to do that? Well, that's going to allow them to take this whole thing and get a little bit of a different view on how I might want that to render out. And if I change that, I can change that as the newest version, save that in a library, and be able to do that.
So it allows the end user to make their own tweaks, and as opposed to going back to the originator every single time.
Exactly. And I love it because it puts the After Effects artist or the After Effects compositor in control over what happens, and you're kind of communicating back and forth. The other thing about this is, and I think a lot of your unit members would agree, that one thing about After Effects, you create something like this and someone just gives you a list of 50 names that you have to go type in there and do, and it doesn't make the day real fun when the editor could just be doing that on the fly. So this allows them to sort of do the repetitive work while they're on the timeline, plus give them a little bit of control that says, you know what, give me a little bit of ways to move things around, but let me, you know, stay on brand.
Right.
And this is a very, very popular workflow that you'll see in a lot of corporations. Now, I'm going to bring up a real complex one that I had a 17-year-old make for me, Nick. And I met Nick. He's actually the son of one of our engineers. And I said, hey, what I want you to do, and he really knew After Effects, high school kid. This was great. He was making money with MoGurts in high school.
This is awesome. Wow.
And I said, can you create me a 3-day weather map that I could bring into Premiere where it shows the weatherman's name and then gives me a 3-day forecast? And let me just play some of this out, because he did a really great job of setting some of this up. So when you look at what Nick had done, you come in here and you can kind of see, well, he's got the lower third, which is going to end up, if I double click on that nested comp, remember, you can take any composition and drag it into another composition. I can see that all he did was do this this element on my name. And then all I had to do was to go in and grab the source text and then drag it up there, and that would allow me to change the name. And he did this for each of these different elements that are in here. I mean, he could go in here and affect all of the different areas of the composition to allow me to get in there and see all the different things that are happening. So let's pop over to Premiere and show you what this looks like from an editor standpoint. As I go over here, you see I've got my weather map right there, and I can drag this out, and I'm gonna put a set to frame size on there. Never scale, always set to frame size. Okay. A little tip for you.
Oh, very good.
So if I come in here, I can see the weather map. Now, What could I do with this? Of course, I could go in there and change my name. But you can see the sliders that Nick gave me access to. Is this a heavy snowy day? Mm-hmm. How big are the flakes? How much wind is in there to sort of figure that out? Right, he had a lot of fun with it. And as I often say, we certainly get some pretty hot days here in Maryland outside of D.C. Sure. So we had to have some lava out there as it gets muggy. And that was another example of how you said, how can we combine effects together? That's kind of how we did that. But giving me the control of being able to get in here, and I can just go in here and type Major Murphy here. Uh-oh. and get you to be the weatherman there, being able to do that. So you're up. Super simple. I didn't have to go back to the After Effects artist and say, hey, could you make me one of these for you? Great example.
I think that actually is a perfect example of what we got a question from, another social media question, Steve B, who asks, how does After Effects workflow benefit media producers? And I think you just presented that, right?
Yeah, 100%. It puts the editor back in control. And I think for media producers, it gets the turnaround a lot quicker.
Okay.
You don't have to wait to have somebody else come back out and make that change for you, who also knows the composition.
Right.
Because you have to kind of know your way around After Effects. And not that that's that complicated, as we just showed, but you can just kind of stay in the zone of the editing. Now let's jump in and sort of kick it up a notch, I think, and let's talk about some of the more modern things that people might want to start doing with After Effects.
Sure.
And one of my favorite things to show is a new AI engine that we have inside of our RotoBrush tool, which has been around for a long time. And one of the things I'd just like to point out to the audience, RotoBrush is on its third version, right? A perfect example. We change the tools quite often without changing the way that they work, right? Which I think is super important, because once you get it, you don't want me to get in there and change it around. It's like, but if it's faster, selects easier, and is just easier to use, then more power to them. So,
like, you don't change a shortcut key, right?
Don't change it, exactly. Change is hard. So down at the bottom of this project panel is a composition button here. And we also have a similar one inside Premiere. And that's going to allow me to drag this 4K movie on top of that comp window and just automatically set up my composition. Now, the reason that's a great little shortcut to know is I don't have to go into comp settings and sort of set up the 4K, this sort of frame rate, and all the different things. It just automatically knows what it needs to do. And here's a perfect example of where I want to separate this guy dancing down the sidewalk from the background so I can do some interesting things. So I'm going to start with this with a little bit of trickery. And I'm going to just duplicate this layer.
How'd you duplicate that?
I used Command-D or Control-D on Windows. And I've selected the layer. And one of the original things in After Effects, if you try to keep the keyboard shortcuts the same, I'm going to hit the return key and just call that BG for background layer.
Okay.
So now I have two videos just essentially squashed on top of each other. And I'm going to turn off the background layer. Again, people do this in Photoshop all the time.
Right.
I'm going to select the foreground layer. And I'm just going to go up to the brush. And here's where the new AI engine is going to start to take place. I'm going to double click on this. And it brings up the layer window. Mm-hmm. Now, this confuses a lot of people. Always pay attention if you're in the layer window or the comp window. Remember, the comp window is the same as the program window in Premiere. And the layer window is kind of the same as the source window in Premiere. So it's the actual source video. So now I'm going to see that my tool's available, turns green. And all I have to do is just make a quick stroke and say, I want you to start selecting this image. And now all I have to do is just click, and it's getting smarter as it's clicking. Now, I did pick this image as well, because you can see it's not a real quick, easy selection because the colors are all very similar. So I'm going to go in here and I'm going to hold down the Option key or the Alt key to say I don't want that background. And now it says, okay, I'm going to stick to his legs there. And now all I have to do is just click once and say, okay, he likes the flesh color on his hand. I'm going to get rid of this up here, and I'm going to click his hand. maybe a little bit of that. See how it just got tight? It kind of understands.
Right.
So AI is allowing it to get smarter as it's learning on the fly. And right between here, I want to tell it, I want you to go ahead and do that. And all I got to do is hit the space bar. And AI now completely takes over. It understands that that's a person, arms, legs, head, torso, does everything it needs to do. And it's now separating that from the background. And it's also just gotten so much faster using some of the newer processors in these, because a lot of these have ML processors, machine language processors in there. So now when you look at this, I can sort of see that I've separated them from the background. And you see this is a very common effect that you might see people do something, outline the image and so forth. So I'm done with the layer window now. And this is a great example where I've turned off the background layer and now I just need to put it back.
Okay.
So now I've got both of those. Now the fun can start. So I'm going to go to the background layer and I'm going to right mouse click and I'm going to go to track. Now, this is going to take a minute. Again, wanted to use a realistic video here. This is a 4K video because I figured a lot of the units and some of the other people out there are probably shooting in 4K video. So I want to show something realistic. And we often know that you use 4K video because you want to do image stabilization, which big part of After Effects and Premiere to be able to get in and stabilize, when especially when you're going back down to 1080. It's really, really smooth. And it'll create this in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
And it's going to create a 3D a sort of planar map that's going to allow me to figure out where all the edges are within this image. Because I've got a sidewalk here. I've got the front of this curb. And I've got the wall. It's all perspective that's going on. This also works on if the whole video is moving as well. Does it need to be sort of a lockdown camera like this? And this is used all the time in After Effects to make things stick. And it's just one of those metaphors that's super, super simple to watch as this kind of goes on.
Yeah,
being able to do this.
I think it's also noteworthy is that, you know, this laptop you're working on right now is a couple years old, right? This is a 3-4-year-old laptop. So, you know, you're doing all these effects that are pretty high end, but it's in a system that is, you know, able to handle it.
Exactly right. And let me just go and see. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to click on the tracker. Now, what you'll notice is a bunch of dots on the screen. And I can look over here and I can say, oh, let me find out where it actually finds a flat spot on the sidewalk. And I'm going to just create some text there, right? I can also kind of come over here on the wall here and just say, let me create some text over there. And now I can just start having some fun with this. I can kind of go down here and say, let me grab some of this text. And I'll kind of move this one down here. And I can have some fun and just write this out.
Very nice.
Be able to do that. And I can play around with perspective and all that. And I'm just going to go in and select this, and let's just change the font around, and I'm going to make it look a little bit more like graffiti there. And now if I look at this, you know, looks okay, but the trick is not quite there. So you can look here and say, well, you're going to have a better time if you just move that behind there. And you can kind of see he's stepping on the text there as I bring this out and I sort of hit play. It is a pretty good fake out there.
Sure.
A great thing about After Effects. Now, the other thing about After Effects, I talked about After Effects being about control, right? So if I click on the Dimfos layer here, for example, I'm going to hit T for opacity, another keyboard shortcut for you. Again, this is just the way the engineers think. I can just kind of bring that down and say, you know what, maybe I want to put a blur on that, or I want to put a text animation on that, or something like that. All of those things will work to give you just the most realistic look that you can. Just a great way to interact it. And I think you would agree that if I wanted to go on the background layer, I could even go up to effects up here and apply, you know, whatever kind of effect I wanted to just to the background layer to separate that. I could put a blur on it, a cartoon effect, or whatever I wanted just to keep that one person sort of in focus there. But I also wanted to jump over and bring up another project here, as I said, that has some 3D on it here. And see if I can, there it is. Bring up the watch one here. Let me just make sure it can find that. Jump over here. And this is gonna be the file that created that video that I just showed you. There we go.
Great.
Now, this looks super, super complex, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on here. It's pretty cool. But layers-wise, there's not really, there's some text and some solids going on and some other things. But when I look at this, you'll notice that one of the things happening here is a GLB file that's been taken. I think this one came from Maxon. And that's a library folder-like with a bunch of components that are in it. There's some metadata and different camera tracking data and things like that that After Effects reads in. But if I turn on the 3D layer, which in this case it would do automatically, and we have some tutorials to teach people how to get started with 3D inside of After Effects, I can grab my orbit tool here and just start moving this around. And you had talked about the performance on even this four-year-old machine. The After Effects team has been writing, rewriting a lot of the code in both Premiere and After Effects, and the performance is just absolutely amazing. But the way that you interact and the types of effects and the things that you do don't change when you're even dealing with something like 3D. It all works exactly the way that I just showed you.
Okay.
And there you have it.
And this 3D object you're showing us, would this be created in After Effects or another program?
It would be created in a great question. So with After Effects, we give you a copy of Maxon Lite.
Okay.
So Cinema 4D Lite is actually built in, and you can just go ahead and use that, or if you have the pro version, some additional things that you can do. But yeah, you kind of bring those directly right inside of After Effects.
Right, so you'd make the 3D object in some sort of 3D generating program, even like Blender or something like that. And you could just bring that into After Effects.
Yeah, we support most of those popular models, bringing them in. And pretty much everything you need to get started with this is in the box. So.
Okay, great. Well, why don't we go ahead and return back to the seats? And we can close out our episode today. And again, thank you so much for taking time out to be here. We really appreciate it. And thank everybody for all the questions that they asked. Really appreciate your contributions to the program. You know, as we sort of end today's show, is there anything you'd like to tell us about what the future of After Effects has in store for perhaps users who might use it?
Yeah, I think the question on everybody's mind is probably going to be, where's AI going? Right, and we did a little bit of a sneak preview in April showing you some things that we're working on. Being able to, remove logos, you know, maybe in the corporate world, you need to be able to remove things. Being able to add objects to images. If I needed to be able to add this coffee mug into a particular scene, being able to do that. Mm. We're actually showing how to do that. A lot of things happening with AutoDub. There's some auto editing things we're starting to look at now, which allow you to auto rough cut. Yeah. So again, it's not going to do it for you. It's just going to help you get a little bit closer there and cut things down.
Yeah.
So in After Effects, we did actually have some pretty cool things that we showed at Max last year, and you'll see more this year coming up in Miami this year, being able to replace like someone's shirt, put a tie on them. Things like that. So all of that sort of stuff you're going to start to see come to the applications. And we're working on the most important thing, which is content authenticity, which is going to allow you to know when AI was used, how it was used, and all the different things about that particular media file that you just want to know the history of what happened.
Right, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that our audience loves is those resources that they can look out to after the program to help them learn and grow. And you'd mentioned earlier that there is a resource, so let's go ahead and highlight that resource.
Yeah, you see it up on the screen now. So AdobeVideoTraining.com is a brand new site. We just went live last week, and there's lots of content, including the content that I have on here. And my most favorite thing about it, when we were talking about different things. I will have my cup of coffee in the morning and I'll watch a tutorial. Even I will always have something to learn. And these videos are done in 5, 10, 15 minute chunks. Right, so wow. You can just do one a day.
That's great to hear. Okay, great. Well, before we say goodbye to you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'd just like to say thank you very much for having us. And we really look forward to linking up with some of these guys out there. Feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn and let's make a connection.
Well, that's great. Well, again, thank you so much for taking time out to be here. Mr. Helmley, we really appreciate it. And we'll appreciate you all for enjoying our show and watching it. But that is our show for this month. So again, thank you to our guest for stopping by and sharing his subject matter expertise. I'd like to also thank you all for tuning into our program. Remember, if you prefer to listen to our show rather than watch it, know that DINFOS Live is also a podcast, and you can find it on your podcatcher of choice. Just search for DINFOS Live. Join us next month on September 25th at 2 p.m. Eastern when we'll be talking about the PA mission at Joint Base Andrews. For everyone at DINFOS and the Defense Media Activity, I'm Major David J. Murphy, and we'll see you all next month. Bye, everybody. Of course, yeah. Maybe we can do something on...